Silently, Nadia was rehearsing her lines on Apricox as she gazed at one of the faces among 20 million dead. There, in the second floor foyer, outside the lilac room and the snack bar, the rotation of mourners stood four ranks deep. They lapped around the folding walls, a full story high and covered in foam board plaques, where previous visitors had pinned photographs, letters, typewritten biographies, even tear-off sheets. Had anyone met this man? Perhaps shared his sentence or been his executioner? Contact the relative here, or tell the newspapers. They were printing the most impolitic confessions these days. Further back, the traffic and wintry ventilation flowed more freely. Cavernous, ornately plastered and dripping with chandeliers, these were the qualities of the venerable theatre and erstwhile TV studio, which in recent years had become the capital's nonconformist art house, the palace of culture of the Moscow Electric Bulb Factory. Nadia's roommate, Annika, was shivering and straying from wall to wall and clasping her hands, fingers to wrists, in front of her belly. This solemn gesture reminded Nadia of her brother-in-law, Georgi, or perhaps of his native mountains. She had seen women from the Caucasus do the same in antique photos as they posed, devoid of joy, in damask dresses. "I must be some kind of sadist to drag Annika out on this November night to see those who froze in nameless camps when she is missing Africa. Well, even I can't spend every night with Shakespeare, and I can't let Annika think the weather alone is the worst thing about this country. Oh, mercy, though. Tonight I could even be glad to smoke and drink with Georgi. I'd be Nastya's gladdest kitchen helper, and I'd wolf her schmancy meals. I'd gladly camp out in Danielushka's bed and read him tales and calm his fuss while his mama and papa keep trying to pen Act Two. I think Chernobyl made Georgi sterile." "So, what are you thinking?" Annika whispered in English as she swept in near Nadia's cheek. She had tea and honey on her breath, which seeped into the general fog of the draughty room. Even the press of live, tearful bodies could not warm it up. "About my family," Nadia answered. They switched to Russian. "About your grandparents?" "Partly." Annika nodded and looked at the picture on the wall, as if to offer attention and sympathy to this forgotten man, somebody else's murdered grandfather. She, like Nadia, was no stranger to the concept of murdered grandfathers. Annika asked, "Okay, will you visit your grandma for New Year's?"
"Will we visit her, you mean?"
Their professors had as much as told them that Annika should stick with Nadia and go meet the heroic Grandma Ninel. The sooner the better, they had seemed to say. Notwithstanding the history of Grandma's heroism, she inhabited an increasingly volatile part of the Union, where concerts were protests with attendance in the hundreds of thousands. Just a week ago, the wavering appointees in Estonia's Supreme Soviet had declared some sort of sovereignty, stopping short of independence, and this tuneless prelude reassured no one. At any rate, New Year's Eve would fall on the Saturday between the end of classes and the start of the exam session. The same date was also Nadia's birthday, her 19th, but she preferred to keep quiet about that. Nadia shrugged and studied the toes of everyone's boots as she shuffled away from the wall.
Slush. A painter or a general could maybe love this slush.
"My sister ought to be a painter or a general. Wants me at hers instead."
"So do half and half, if we don't have early exams."
That would make 4 days on the train. 4 days, 4 nights.